Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning. Hope you're having a great morning. And TGIF, thank God it's Friday, but we can say that every day because this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with the term Ichabod? Ichabod, we run into that term Ichabod, which means no glory, in 1 Samuel chapter 4. It's when God's people went to fight the Philistines, and they took the Ark of God. Eli was the priest, and he had two worthless sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were fighting the Philistines, and they were saying, we need something extra in this battle. We can't win it on our own, and let's bring in the Ark of God. And so they took the Ark from the temple, from the tent, and brought it into battle, and the Philistines were afraid, but God was punishing his people and disciplining his people for their sins, and Hophni and Phinehas were horrible people, the priests or the sons of the priest Eli. And as the story goes, Israel was defeated, and the ark was taken. Hophni and Phinehas were killed, and they went and reported to Eli, who was old, and he was had trouble seeing, and he was very overweight. And when they told him that the ark of God was taken, he fell back and broke his neck, and he died. It was just an awful day. Well, his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant and about to give birth, and when she heard the news that the Ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention, and she called the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God was taken." The glory of the Lord has departed, Ichabod. Well, listen, on lots of churches, sadly, we can write the word Ichabod. God writes the word Ichabod because God has left. The last church in the seven letters to the seven churches is to the church of Laodicea. And at that church, the Lord is not even in the church. He's knocking on the door of the church. He's saying, "Let me in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Revelation 3:20. We use that as a salvation verse, but it's really the Lord wanting to get into his church. And I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. And he's outside the church. And that's kind of a picture of what we see in these last days. What's going on in the church? Well, the church, it has gotten so far away from the Lord and so far away from his word that the Lord is saying, you have locked me out of my own church. Now, remember this when it comes to church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He did not say, "Upon this rock I will build your church." And he did not say, "You will build my church." He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But we have many, many organizations today that call themselves the church, but they are anything but. Now, the big news in the world of Christianity came from the United Methodist Church, as they jettisoned all their conservatives, and the conservatives made the choice, "Hey, we're not going to go along with all this liberalism that has just oozed and seeped into the church, the UMC church," and so they left. It looked like it was going to be that the conservatives would take over the UMC and the liberals would leave, but that flip-flopped, and the conservatives had to leave. Well, Al Mohler, the president of Southern Seminary, Dr. Al Mohler, he wrote a very insightful article just the other day, and it said, "Well, that didn't take long." The subtitle, "The United Methodists Quickly Abandon Biblical Christianity." And here is what he writes. "The United Methodist Church committed theological treason yesterday, leaving biblical Christianity behind in a headlong rush to join the LGBTQ revolution. In the view of the progressives, they were making up for lost time. In the long view of Christian history, they were marching off the map of Orthodox Christianity. By a vote of 692-51, and without a word of formal debate, the United Methodist General Conference, it met in North Carolina, voted to overturn the church's historic discipline and doctrine on homosexuality. Yesterday's vote took place in Charlotte, North Carolina, but the impact will be felt worldwide. John Wesley never intended to establish a church. His goal, aided by his brother Charles, was to lead a holiness movement within the Church of England. They were eventually dubbed Methodists as a term of derision simply because of the methodical approach taken by Wesley's devotional societies. Now, Methodism quickly made its way into the colonies, and Wesley himself came to Savannah in 1735, and the Methodist movement was made for the American moment. Wesley was a loyal British citizen, was also loyal to the Church of England. With the War of Independence, the Americans were left to establish their own church, and the Methodist Episcopal Church was established in 1784 in Baltimore, and the movement spread like wildfire. Before long, the Methodists would be the largest single denominational movement in America, and they remained strong well into the 20th century. But now what do you write on the door of these churches who voted overwhelmingly? I mean, their delegates, 692-51, to embrace open sin. Homosexuality is condemned in the Bible as sin. There's no wiggle room there. If one lies with a man as he lies with a woman, it's an abomination. It's in the book of Leviticus and the Holiness Code. It's found in the New Testament. I heard one guy he was debating this, homosexuality, and does the Bible condemn homosexuality? And they were having this debate. I think it was with James White. Anyway, and this guy finally said, well, listen, I think, you know, the bottom line is we've just gotten this wrong. Over all these years, from the time of Moses, we have gotten this wrong. And God is not against homosexuality. He is for that loving relationship, as we hear from the culture, love is love, and they have no idea what love is. Jesus is love. God is love. And when he came to this world and he, in love, exposed the sin of this world to call men to repentance so that they could be saved, they nailed him to a tree. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. And the world hated Jesus. Why? Because he testified against it that its deeds were evil. Now, he didn't do that to condemn the world. He did that to save the world. I was talking to one of our pastors just the other day, and he was able to lead this man to faith in Christ. And Brian told me, and this is so true, he said, you know, as I meet with Mike, he thinks he's a Christian. But I have to help him see that he's lost. And so until he sees that he's lost, he can't be found. He can't be saved. One preacher used to say, you got to get folks lost in order to be saved. They have to see that they are lost, that they're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And when men see that they're sinners in the hands of an angry God, when they understand that they're on the broad road leading to destruction, when they recognize the fact that, hey, if I died right now, I would go to hell, and deservedly so, because I'm a sinner and I've sinned and committed high treason against heaven's king. That's when you cry out for mercy. That's when you leave the pigsty like the prodigal son and go and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. You go in repentance and faith and brokenness, and God will receive you at that point. And so here we are in today's world, in the UMC, they embrace the LGBTQ movement, and they say, we're going to have gay bishops, and it's fine to have gay bishops. And they're just so excited about that, because now they're so enlightened and they're so free, and it's Ichabod. And the sad thing is, they don't even know that the Lord has written Ichabod over the door. Because, see, it says in Psalm 138, verse 2, "For you," speaking of God, "for you, God, have magnified your word according to all your name." God loves his word, and God reveals his will, his ways in his word. One man said this, "What is the Bible? It is God's mind in print." If you want to know God and you want to know what God thinks about this, that, and the other, about all the issues of the day, spend time in the Word of God, because the Lord will tell you what he thinks about this, that, and the other, and what is right and what is wrong. And thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, as it says in the book of Psalms. And so how do we know where to walk? We're in darkness. Well, the word of God illumines your steps so you know where to walk. And the Bible says, "For the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." As we keep walking in God's word and God's ways, he keeps giving us more and more light to walk in. But if we depart from that, well, then we're on our own. We talked about that yesterday on the program on the National Day of Prayer. We said from Romans 1, when you don't see fit to acknowledge God any longer, when you want to do church your way instead of God's way, well, what happens? Well, God gives you over. He says, "Okay, well, then you have it. And let's see how that's going to work for you." And the glory departs, and God is not present. God is not there anymore. The glory of the Lord has departed. And so I wanted to play just this short little clip to give you an idea of what you probably missed the conference in North Carolina. This is what it was like, and this is what they were celebrating, all their diversity and equity and inclusion.
You have now had multiple opportunities to practice inclusion, and we wanted to report back on one of them, gender inclusion. Who was called upon to speak and who actually did speak in the plenary and legislative committees? So how did you do?
Combining the data from across 14 legislative committees, here is our report card today.
Can you believe that?
They had more females than males that spoke.
Yes. Hey, folks, come on. You saw it here first. We've been working a long time for this. Can you just pause and see how beautiful that chart is?
51.1 female speakers, 47.9 male speakers, 1% non-binary speakers. Church, you get an A.
I agree. Yeah.
They standing ovation there toward the end. It's just ridiculous. I'm being facetious. They had a few claps and they had to beg for those. But it's just sickening. That's what they celebrate. Well, we had more female speakers than male speakers. And, you know, we have that battle right now in the Southern Baptist Convention about who should be the pastor. Well, the Bible makes it clear that God has chosen men to pastor the church. As my friend Kirby Anderson says, hey, it's very clear. What is a pastor? He is the husband of one wife. He's a man. It doesn't mean he's better than women. Men aren't better than women. We're all the same. But God has designated the man to be the leader of the home and the man to be the leader in the church. It's a sad, sad day as the Methodist Church has jettisoned traditional orthodoxy and they're creating their own way. And I don't see how anybody stays in the Methodist Church that loves the Lord and loves his word. When we come back from the break, we're going to welcome to the program my favorite Methodist, like my favorite Martian, my favorite Methodist. And he tells me he's former Methodist, president of American Family Association, American Family Radio, Tim Wildman. He's going to be on the air with me. So don't go away. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Has the strongest grip in the world. It belongs not to the mighty or the muscular, but to our Savior, with hands once pierced by nails. This is Jim Scudder for today's Moment in Grace. Despite the wounds he endured, those hands hold us securely, a constant source of reassurance and hope for believers. They bear witness to the depth of Jesus' love, a love that compelled him to endure the agony of the cross for our salvation. Let's take a moment to reflect on the wonder of our salvation and the peace of your eternal security. Let the blessings of God renew and reinvigorate your love for him and appreciate those nail-scarred hands anew. Rekindle your relationship with him and never forget his love for you.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
Hey friends of 8 Days of Hope. Did you know that human trafficking is the fastest growing crime across the globe? Traffickers are turning an estimated profit of over $150 billion annually. And as awareness of this horrific crime increases, survivors are looking for support as they exit a life of unimaginable hurt and brokenness. At 8 Days of Hope, we are humbled to come alongside ministries that are serving survivors across the United States. We help build or renovate facilities to ensure that those rescued can receive the emotional, physical, and spiritual healing that they desperately need. We are looking for volunteers who are skilled in construction to join us as we work together to end human trafficking. If you love roofing, own a drywalling company, consider yourself a carpenter, or are generally handy, we could use your help. You must be 18 and older and pass a background check to serve with this arm of the ministry. To get involved, email us at safehouse@8daysofhope.com. That's safehouse@8daysofhope.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are talking about the United Methodist Church and their vote to reverse their stance on homosexuality and homosexuals in the ministry, and they're going with culture, and they're going with the LGBTQIA+ group, and they're all excited about it and all jazzed. And as we said in the first segment, you can write Ichabod over the door of any church, any denomination that goes in that direction. The glory of the Lord has departed. God will not be a part of that. God is present when we preach his word, when we do church the way he said to do it, when we hold up his word and stand in his ways and walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Well, I said in the last segment, I was very glad I invited my favorite Methodist, and he reminded me he's former Methodist, my favorite former Methodist, Tim Wildman, on the program to talk about what's going on in the United Methodist Church, because as many of you know, Don Wildman, the founder of American Family Association, American Family Radio, was a Methodist minister. And so, Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing this morning?
Doing good. How are you? I just thought about My Favorite Martian. I know that you probably watched that show. So My Favorite Methodist, Tim Wildman.
I am wearing a green shirt this morning, but I'm not green. Are you talking about what happened yesterday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yesterday or the day, but was it yesterday or the day before? It was one of those days.
One of those days. Well, for those, okay, let's go back. The United Methodist Church which I grew up in and a lot of our listeners grew up in, was created in the 60s by the merging of the United Brethren denomination and the Methodist. So they just took words from both of them and formed the United Methodist denomination. And again, I think that was the mid-60s, maybe early 60s. I'm not sure exactly when that happened. But the Methodist Church itself, prior to becoming the United Methodist Church, was really one of the few national denominations. I mean, I remember one time that I was told you could go to any county in the United States and find a Methodist church. And, of course, the history of the church was, you know, great. I mean, you're talking about Charles and John Wesley. You're talking about Francis Asbury. You're talking about the circuit riders trailblazing the gospel through the wilderness of early America throughout the 18th, 19th centuries. So the history there of the Methodist Church itself is historic. How do you like that? History is historic. I'm good with words.
You're very good.
Yeah, thank you. And so what happened was I know you're talking about what happened a couple of days ago. I'm trying to give you the background of what led up to that. What happened was the liberals, and that's a soft word to use, got in charge of the seminaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As threatened to happen to the Southern Baptist Convention.
That's exactly right.
About 20 years ago. You remember that when Adrian Rogers and Charles Stanley and other names that, Jeff, you're more familiar with, fought back against that?
Right. That was about 40 years ago. Yeah.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah, even more than that, because it was in the 70s.
Okay. Well, anyway, the same thing, this is how the devil works, right? Trying to destroy the leadership and the schools that put out the pastors. Then the pastors become corrupt, and then they go and corrupt their congregations, and then here you end up with this broken denomination that splits. And I'm glad it split. And it's sad that it had to come to that, but at the same time, it's good that it did come to that. And I know a lot of churches, I think 20 to 30% of all the United Methodist churches have officially left the denomination over the last year or so. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that was the embracing of the homosexual lifestyle and behavior as okay with Christianity and with the Bible. The United Methodist Church of Church of Discipline, excuse me, the Book of Discipline, which is kind of like the, you know, what the church goes by. They had always had in there that I think the right words were, or the correct words were, homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching.
Yeah, it says this: the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. Therefore, self-avowed practicing homosexuals are not to be certified as candidates, ordained as ministers, or appointed.
Right. So, so the church is there. See, I was going by memory. You were just reading. I mean,
but I'm not a Methodist, Tim.
I know, but still, you corrected me by reading when I was going by memory. So it's okay.
I was just trying to help. I was just trying to help our listeners.
Yes, okay, Jeff. And so anyway, it's come to this, and but what was holding a lot of churches up, a lot of churches didn't agree with this direction that the bishops were going, and the a lot of the pastors were going, certainly the seminaries, but they had no recourse other than just leave the church and go join another church, which is what I did 25 years ago or so. My wife and I, Allison, we did. She grew up Baptist, I grew up Methodist, so we split the difference and went to an independent church.
How hard was that to do?
To do what?
To leave, because your dad was Methodist.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you're leaving your church of your youth. Yeah, that's hard. Mm-hmm. That is hard to do. Of course, when you marry somebody who's different persuasion, it's, you know, I wanted to get the girl, right? So I went with her.
Yeah, I got
you. And so anyway, that was somewhat difficult because I grew up there. I was a PK, a United Methodist pastor, but I saw the direction. My dad saw the trends that they were taking. But what happened was when you have a denomination, not like the Baptist, which each Baptist church is autonomous, right? It's independent.
Right.
And the United Methodist Church is a denomination where the denomination itself controls the properties.
Mm-hmm.
So each individual church was owned by the denomination, the land, the building.
Right.
Okay. So that's a problem. Because you say, okay, we're leaving. And the denomination goes, well, fine, go put your tent on that lot over there. Because this is our building right here.
Yeah, you're on your own.
Yeah. So, but what happened is a lot of the churches, as I say, 20 to 30% now have left.
Mm-hmm.
And they left over this issue, which is a biblical issue, and they should have left. But they had to buy out their property. A lot of them had to pay the denomination to retain their property without having to go to court to fight over it, you know. So anyway, it's one of those things, Jeff, where it's sad to see happen on one hand. On the other hand, I'm glad it happened because it needed to happen so that the Methodist churches that are true to the gospel and the Bible can move on. And yeah. So some of them are joining what's called the Global Methodist Church, which is, will become a name more people are familiar with in the coming mm-hmm. years.
Hey, Tim, how come the conservatives had to leave and not the liberals?
I think it probably over because the liberals control the hierarchy.
Okay.
Yeah, they control their most of the bishops are liberals, and it's a bishop controlled, bishops and district superintendents, and that's really the reason for that and the property. So if you're leaving, if the denomination is going against the scripture, going far left, I hate to use that term on this because it's not really political, it's more spiritual, but right. then the conservatives were the ones who were left with the Bible believers were the ones with the left with the choice. Do we leave the church or not? Because you see what happened. Was it yesterday or the day before? You told us the United Methodist Church has officially said we're going to let homosexual men be pastors and lesbian women be ministers.
Yeah.
In the church officially. I mean, they're just right out there bold about it.
It's just sickening.
Yeah.
Now, when did your dad leave?
He did not leave. He died in December. Now let me just say this. His church did leave. In Mississippi, they had a meeting in Jackson, I think it was, of all the churches who were leaving. And that was, when was that, a couple months ago? I didn't mean to be a smart aleck about him dying, but I mean, he died before the church left. He was in agreement with leaving the church, his individual church. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. Okay, I got you.
So he passed away, but he was in agreement with what happened a month or two later from his death, because my brother was a part of this. My brother went to the same church my dad did, which was United Methodist, and he went to Jackson with another couple of leaders in his church to officially disassociate from the denomination. So. Mm-hmm. So my dad saw what was happening, and he was in agreement with separating.
Well, it's Tim. It's always shocked me knowing how strong your dad was
right.
On spiritual things that he was Methodist, because I just in my Christian life Methodists have always been soft and wishy washy, and now they've just jettisoned everything. but I appreciated that about him and. And I know
isn't the history of the Methodist Church, be soft
right,
and wishy-washy.
Right.
It's just in the last 30 years that trend's been going that way. But if the devil gets in a church or the devil gets in a denomination to persuade people to do the wrong thing, it will eventually erode the church or any institution. And as you said, Jeff, Ichabod will be written over the name because the United Methodist denomination, as it exists now, will not be around in 10 years, I think. Certainly 20, because you have to believe in something in order to attract people to come, give their time, energy, and effort and money, right?
Right.
So if you don't believe in the Holy Scripture and you're a Christian church, you're going to die. Just a matter of time.
Right.
Like you said, it's just a matter of time. The old timers, the gray hairs are going to die out. The ones who are loyal to you just because that's where mama and them went to church. Mm-hmm. They're going to die out and you're going to be left with nothing. People are not going to go to attend a church that doesn't believe in anything.
No.
Okay? They can go fishing. They can garden. They can do their, you know, they can go golf.
Yeah.
Jeff, you and I would go, if we were pagans, we'd be golfing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people got 1,000 things they can do today. There's no longer the social pressure of having to attend church in your community or be looked down upon or frowned upon. That day is gone. You look around, even in the Bible Belt, a lot of people don't go to church anymore. So that's, and a lot of people who used to go to church went to church for, it was good that they went to church, but they went to church for the wrong reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they did.
But here today, if you're going to deny the authority of Scripture on something as important as human sexuality, it's just a matter of time. Babylon B had a satirical comic strip yesterday, I guess it was the day before. They said United Methodists are going to vote on whether they don't want to stay Christian or not. Well, I didn't say that, people. The Babylon Bee said that, but it was hilarious. Sadly.
Yeah. Well, when I texted you this morning, I said, "Tim, will you come on? You're the only Christian Methodist I know."
Yeah, that sounded like a country song. Almost, really.
Yeah, I was being facetious. But now, is a quote. This is a quote, Tim, from Bishop Karen Oliveto, the first openly lesbian bishop in the UMC. And she was talking about the vote, you know, to reverse their stance on homosexuality. And she said this, quote, "It seemed like such a simple vote, but it carried so much weight and power as 50 years of restricting the Holy Spirit's call on people's lives have been lifted." Mm-hmm. How sick is that?
Yeah, she's just deceived. Deceived. That's just. I don't know. Did she cite a Bible verse?
No Bible verse.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Would Tim? What would you say as somebody that's left the UMC? What would you say to someone that says, "Well, I think God wants me to stay here to be salt and light in this church"? What would you say to that?
No, leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
you asked me my opinion.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what I would say that the decision has been made officially and by the church to embrace sin. Yeah. And you can't stay in that. If there were any hope for reversing that or change, I could see where you might say, "I'm going to stay and be salt and light. And I'm going to work for righteousness inside the denomination." But at this point, that decision's been made. That's my view. You know, I'm not going to beat somebody up over it. But there's the music, Jeff. You're on your own.
Okay, Tim, before you leave, I got to ask you. So you were with me 2 weeks ago. We played golf at Texarkana Country Club. Your opinion on the course?
That Texarkana Country Club, if I lived there, I would live there. That is a beautiful club and a beautiful golf course. Absolutely, brother. I would say you need to play as much and as often as you can. I think that's the Lord's will for you, Jeff.
Yeah, that's the Lord's will for my life. Well, I appreciate that.
Tell your wife that.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. You're a good friend. I appreciate you.
See you, Jeff.
See ya. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and that was President Tim Wildman. We're talking about the issue in the Methodist Church. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
This is Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. Dark thoughts often grip us as caregivers. We fearfully cry out for someone to tell us what to do, where to go, how to cope, or even why this is happening to us. When he was just a toddler, our oldest son fell and lacerated his chin, and I had to hold him down while he received stitches. I'll never forget the look of terror in his eyes and his screams as he endured what, for him, was horrifying. He had no way to understand what was happening or how to cope. So instead of trying to explain infections, antibiotics, and so forth, I gently assured him that I was there and he would be okay. Soon the doctor finished and I held our son and dried his tears. How are we any different when traveling in the often long valley of the shadow of death? Our Heavenly Father doesn't often give us the answers we demand, but He does give us the assurance we need, the assurance of His presence and His love for us.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope, a ministry for the wounded and those who care for them. There's more information at standingwithhope.com.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Abraham, you and I have something very special here in America. We can open our Bibles every day and be reminded of God's precious promises. But around the world, in Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America, as many as 9 of 10 new believers, they're denied God's Word. They're crying out. And while many of those are adults, you know, many are just kids who want to know what it means to follow Jesus.
I am Lisbeth. I am 10 years old and live in Peru with my mom and sisters. My dad died last year. We would like a Bible to read every day when we wake up. Thank you.
We're praying to bless 6,000 Bibleist believers around the world, including precious children. Will you pray about it? Get involved today and help us meet this very important kingdom goal. Abraham?
$5 sends a Bible. $100 sends 20. $500 sends 100. You can give by calling 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD. Or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the United Methodist Church and what has transpired in North Carolina for their big convention that they had. As Al Mohler said, it's a denominational surrender, and they have just turned their back on Christianity. I liked how he, his subtitle of his article, "The United Methodists Quickly Abandoned Biblical Christianity." Now, the conservatives left, and Al points out in his article, during the crucial years of 2022 and 2023, no less than 7,000 congregations left the United Methodist Church. Now, we just had Tim Wellman on. He said somewhere around 20 to 30%, I think it's about 25% left. In Dallas, it says close to 70% of the churches left in the Dallas area that were United Methodist churches. They said, you know, we're not going to go along with this. We're going to side with the Bible. And the UMC today has said, we're not siding with the Bible. We're going to do it our own way. And as I said in the first segment, you go Romans 1. You don't see fit to acknowledge God any longer. God, we don't care what you say. We don't care how you want us to do it. We're going to do it the way that we see fit. Hey, there's a way that seems right to a man. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If you want to do it your own way, you want to do life your own way, you want to do church your own way, feel free. But To quote Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? It's not going to work at all, because God is not going to be in it. God is not going to bless. And as we said, you write Ichabod over the door of any church that departs from the Word of God, because our job is to preach the Word. That's what Paul told Timothy. The last chapter of the last letter he ever wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, Timothy, I solemnly charge you, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove. Who likes that? Nobody likes to be reproved, but we need it. Rebuke. Who likes that? Nobody likes that, but we need it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Because he says, Timothy, the time is going to come where men will not endure sound doctrine, but they want to have their ears tickled. And they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn aside from the truth and turn aside to myths. And we desperately need to give people the truth, because without the truth, you can't be saved. You can't be set free. Jesus said, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if you don't know the truth, well, you're not going to get set free. Jesus was full of grace, John chapter 1, and truth. And we need grace and truth. By loving kindness and truth, the Bible says, iniquity is atoned for. Loving kindness in the Old Testament, hesed, is the Hebrew word. It's used all throughout the Old Testament in the New American Standard Bible. You don't find it in the New Testament, but what you find in the New Testament that's used over and over and over again is grace. And I love the word loving kindness. I love the word grace, and it's God's love in action and God's mercy and grace to undeserving sinners. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I would love to hear from you. Now, I asked Tim Wallman the question in the last segment, you know, Tim, what would you say to somebody in the United Methodist Church that says, well, I think God wants me to stay there and be salt and light? And he said, no, you leave. You leave. You can't hitch your wagon to a quote unquote church, and I use that term loosely because I think they've ceased to be a church. But you can't hitch your wagon to somebody that says we're going in a different direction than what the Lord has clearly told us that we're supposed to go in. And so I likened it this way: it's, you know, the Bible is the milk, the meat, the word, or the milk, the meat, the bread, the honey. It's food for your soul. Now, you wouldn't go to a restaurant that poisoned the food, because you would say, no, that's going to, it's better for me to not eat than to eat food that's been tainted with poison. And that's what you are going to have in any church, any denomination that jettisons the Word of God. So, I think that you are, it's incumbent, and I realize it's hard. I've been talking to a friend who said, you know, I've been in the United Methodist Church for all these years, and my mother is in the church, and she's been here for all these years. It's very, very hard to leave, but you have to leave. You have to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and you can't subject yourself to that, and you can't subject your kids to that. Because, you know, as Tim Wallman said, hey, give the UMC 10, 20 years. They're not going to exist anymore, because it's just mush. It's just culture. It doesn't have any backbone. It doesn't have any steel to say this is what we believe in. There's no conviction of truth. It's just we go the way of the world, and that's not going to sustain itself for very long. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Susan on the line from South Carolina. Susan, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Susan, are you there? Well, we'll try and get Susan. Oh, there
she is. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead, Susan.
I actually attended the conference in South Carolina when the denominations voted to merge back in, it was in the early 1970s. I want to say January of 72, but I may be off by a year. Could have been 73. I was working in a Methodist church as a college intern for a summer program, or for a school program. And it was interesting to be there and to hear everything. Okay, after that happened, my husband, who had felt the call to the ministry, realized the turns that the denomination was taking, even at that time. And we began seeking, where did God want us to be? What did he want us to do? And where was our ministry going to be? And he led us, God led us, to try, countless denominations. And we finally found one that was conservative, a small, relatively small denomination that believes in what the Bible says. And we've been happily content there since the early 1970s. But the second thing I wanted to address was this, and this is also a concern of my heart. When the Presbyterian denomination had its splits and reconfigurations, they let a lot of churches take their property with them. They didn't find them. They didn't hold them back. Yet the Methodist Church is holding back the very people that built those properties up. Because the properties are often in very valuable locations, and they have increased in value. And that's greed. It's wrong. It's a misuse of church property. It just breaks my heart to see what some very loved family members are going through as their family members have stayed within the Methodist denomination. And I just pray that the eyes of the blind will be opened, and that more people will see, and maybe maybe something can turn around and they can have more freedom to leave. But the denomination is not going to survive because the people that are there don't oftentimes tithe or have the money to support the properties. They'll just be selling the properties to get money to do whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think
that's all.
Yeah, good word. I think you're exactly right, Susan. Well, I appreciate you calling in. And we want a denomination like that. You know, once you say, well, I'm not going to go with what the scripture says, well, I hope you close, because you are masquerading as a church. You're not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not lifting up the cross and the empty tomb, and you're not lifting up his word. He's magnified his word according to all his name, and God cares about his word. And so we need to care about his word, and we need to obey the scripture, preach the word, especially in the last days. We need to stand firm on the word of God. So I appreciate you calling in. We have Donna on the line from Virginia. Donna, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you for your program.
Thank you.
And what Tim Wallman was saying, I know that he was the pastor of Methodist Church, but I also grew up in the Methodist Church. And when it changed to the United Methodist Church, it was around early 70, mm-hmm. Maybe it was around 70, 1970. And around that time, the Methodist Church decided to adopt reparations. And when that happened, my mother abruptly left that church. She didn't believe that was biblical, and she didn't believe it was right. And so she left and joined the Church of Christ, and I'm now at a wonderful church, Grove Avenue Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. And they are a biblical preaching, teaching church. And I just feel so blessed that I'm in a good place where I can hear the truth about
Amen. Amen.
God.
Yeah, that's very important, Donna. You know, it's we need that. We need to have a place that's solid, that is going to lift up the name of Jesus, the cross, the empty tomb, and the Word of God, and teach us. And because that's how we develop, that's how we grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need to grow up in faith. The last thing that the Apostle Peter ever wrote in Scripture, but grow, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so how do we do that? By fellowship and by the Word of God, by prayer, by spending time with the Word, and by not being forgetful hearers, but effectual doers, and building our lives on the rock. As Jesus said in Matthew 7, the one who hears my word and does not do it. He's the man, the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. But the one who hears my words and does it, puts it into practice, he's the man who builds his house on the rock. So I appreciate you calling in. Donna, God bless you. Well, we have Louise on the line from Mississippi. Louise, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I left the AME, which is the Methodist Church, in the 70s because the gospel was not preached from the pulpit. I had two minor girls, and their Sunday school teacher taught them a lot of things that were sound, and I asked her why she did not leave, but she chose to stay to teach the high school and junior high classes. However, they were not sound. I listened to through the Bible, and I read my Bible, and I went to Bible school and all those things, and I knew what they were teaching was not sound, so I left.
Yeah, I think that's wise. You know, you got to be, just like you would protect what goes into your body with food, you don't want to eat food that's going to be bad for you. And as I said, that could be tainted with chemicals or poisons or something like that. You want to protect your mind spiritually, and you don't want to give the devil an avenue. He can come in. He's very deceptive and more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God has made in Genesis 3:1. So you got to be careful, and you got to make sure what's coming in is true and pure and right, and that you can trust. Now, not that every church is not right on every single jot and tittle of Scripture. Not every Christian is right on all that. But when it comes to main things, and when it comes to following the Word of God, that's where we have to say, hey, that's the direction we're going. And we all learn and grow issues related to eschatology, let's say, end times. Good and godly people can disagree on timing of things, but we know that the Word is true. So I appreciate you calling in, Louise. God bless you. We have Chris on the line from Tennessee. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Hi, Brother Jeff.
How are you?
I just wanted to call and say, oh, good. I just wanted to call and say that, you know, God is the creator, and 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that he just breathed that scripture as his. The Bible is his words, and we don't have the right to change it to satisfy our selfish desires or ambitions or any of that. And just like Aaron's two sons, they didn't obey the Lord according to his instructions, and heaven sent fire and burned them up. And we're just lucky that in the New Testament era that we don't die that instantly if we disobey a God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
God is the potter. We are the clay, and we have no right to change anything that the Lord has put in his word.
That's exactly right, Chris. Good word. And it's the height of arrogance to think that we should correct God on how we do church, because, you know, God just doesn't know. God knows the end from the beginning. He's the infinite God. His mind is like the Pacific Ocean, and our mind's like a teacup. And so we do what he says. He doesn't do what we say. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out this weekend, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Listen, as the time gets closer to the return of Christ, we need to be bold witnesses, bold as a lion, as we stand up for the Word of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.